Well, good morning, Baku International Fellowship. You know, I fully expected that I would be there with you this morning at BIF to preach this message, but our visas haven't quite arrived yet. In fact, as I record this, I actually am supposed to be getting on a flight to return to Baku right now, but continue to pray. We've been assured that the visa is in process and that they will expedite this process. The problem is we're not exactly sure what the definition of expedite is right at this moment. But hey, a big thank you goes out to Heiko for his ministry of the word, the proclamation of God's word over the past several weeks. It's been so good to have someone who is so capable of proclaiming God's word. And I know that you will express your appreciation to Heiko for his ministry there. This delay has been frustrating, that's to say the least. There is a certain feeling here that there's a spiritual sense of opposition in getting back there. I thought on several occasions over the past couple of days of Daniel chapter 10. You remember when Daniel was crying out to God for a resolution? He couldn't understand something, and he cried out to God for answers. And for 21 days, he was praying. And then finally, the angelic messenger showed up and he said, I've been delayed. I was delayed by a spiritual opposition. And until Michael, the archangel, came and delivered me, I wasn't able to come. And now I'm here after 21 days. And the way it is phrased in there, since you have been praying. In other words, Daniel had been praying for 21 days. I wonder, what's the longest you've ever prayed for something? How long are you willing to stay on your knees? Do you fight your spiritual battles on your knees? That's what Daniel was doing. And that's what we're going to talk about today. This summer that we have been exploring Paul's a spiritual battle strategy. We began looking back in the month of June at some of the major battle fronts that we face in our spiritual struggles. The first is the devil and his associates. And Paul talks about that, the principalities and powers and rulers of spiritual darkness. And we said this is not just an evil power, but they're actual beings, evil beings that are set to try to bring us down. Then there's the world around us. And we're told that the world is influenced. It's under the control of the devil. So there's always these temptations around us. The world is full of temptations to sin. But not only that, the devil has created a mindset. The way the world thinks about God is anti-God. And so we're surrounded by thinking that is against God. And that's a spiritual battle front. But the third thing that we talked about was our own sinful selves. The greatest demon we face is oftentimes our own personal pride. Dealing with that stinky pride is a real spiritual battle. Don't you agree? Heiko took us then through the six different ways that God has equipped us for this spiritual battle. It says, put on the full armor of God. Well, how do I do that? What's the how-to of putting on spiritual armor? I had a friend by the name of Ernie in our church in Ohio. And after a similar series on Ephesians 6 that I did there, he began putting on the armor of God every morning. Before he got out of bed, he would pray through those six pieces of armor that Paul tells us to arm ourselves with, to put on for the day's battle ahead. Yeah, it just says praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and requests. And to this end, to keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication, making requests for all the saints. Now, some of English translations will stop their translation at verse 17 with a period. And then verse 18 begins, and pray in the Spirit. But the way Paul wrote that out, verse 17 should end with a comma. And then it begins praying at all times in the Spirit. You see, I think Paul wanted us to keep very closely this connection between the six different elements of the spiritual armor and prayer. You see, the armor of God is put on, and it is maintained through the battlefield of prayer. And so we're going to look at verse 18 today to see what do we learn about the battlefield of prayer? How do we put on this armor in prayer? Well, the first thing that we see here is that the battlefield praying is all about a constant state of being connected, being before God. It says praying at all times. Yeah, Ernie was right, partially right. He started the day praying, but here Paul tells us we have to be in a constant state of understanding the need to put on that armor. As we approach, as we have battles during the day, to put on whatever piece of armor we need to emphasize those things throughout the day. This passage of scripture also calls us for perseverance, staying with it. There's this constant temptation to give up on prayer, isn't there? Oh, I've tried a million times. I've tried all kinds. I've gotten up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And no, it just doesn't seem to last. You know, some of the greatest prayer warriors that I know, personally know, would tell me, Tim, I am never satisfied with my level of prayer. The great prayer warriors of Christian history will tell you that they didn't feel like they prayed enough. I'm more worried about the person who says, oh, I got my prayer life together. I have no problems at all. This is great. That's the person who is really in danger. I want to be somebody on the battlefield of prayer. Don't you? Secondly, battlefield praying is saturated with the Holy Spirit. The passage there in verse 18 says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Here, I believe Paul is trying to tie us back into Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit. Powerful passage, a key passage in all of Paul's letters. What does that mean? Well, does it mean like you're filling up a tank of gas? You get more of the Holy Spirit? No, the word that is being used here, that Paul uses to be filled with the Holy Spirit, is to be saturated. It's like a sponge, an old dry sponge, and you saturate it. It changes its character because it's been saturated with water. Well, your heart, your life, your soul is saturated with the Holy Spirit to give it a different texture. To be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be filled with the Holy Spirit in prayer is to allow the Holy Spirit to initiate our prayer, to drive us to our knees, to listen to the Holy Spirit for those moments that call us to the battlefield of prayer. It means to be led by the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us what to pray. It means to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to pray powerful things way beyond our ability to imagine them. Pray for things that are great inside of God, great in the sight of me. Some people might take that to mean, well, I got to pray passionately. I got to yell and scream and all kinds of things. Well, let's get excited about God. And no. When I think about that, and I think about this aspect of passion and praying, my mind goes back to Elijah and on Mount Carmel with those 700 prophets of Baal. And as they prayed all day, they began screaming and yelling and doing all kinds of bodily harm to themselves, trying to get God to listen. Well, that's not the kind of power. That's not the kind of passion God is asking of us. You see, it's entirely possible to quietly pray in the Spirit and experience God's grace in a very miraculous, powerful manner. We don't have to get ourselves all worked up emotionally. We have to draw on the deep well of the Holy Spirit to initiate, to lead, and to empower our prayer. You see, we have that advantage. We have an advantage over the Old Testament prophets and leaders then, because we have the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 tells us of the Holy Spirit's outpouring and Peter saying, this precious promise is for all of you who trust in Christ. It was promised back in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the family of David and on the people of Jerusalem. God has poured out upon you. If you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he has poured out a spirit of grace and prayer You have the you have access to the one who will empower your praying. I wonder, do you take time to invite the Holy Spirit to come and prompt you in your prayer? Or do you just jump in and say, have your list? You have your list of things and say, okay, let's go, God. Or do you say, Holy Spirit, come and instruct me how to pray today? Do you ask him to lead you? Do you ask him to empower you? Ask and you'll receive. And receive that precious and powerful word of God, that powerful Spirit of God to make your prayer battlefield prayer ready. Third thing, battlefield prayer involves a variety of kinds of prayer, all kinds of different things. He says, praying with all kinds of prayers and requests. The Bible is an encyclopedia of different ways to pray. We see all kinds of different ways that people come to God and cry out to him. Here we see two words, prayer and request or supplication. The word prayer here can be parsed out. We can understand it better by talking about being an offering to God, an offer to God yourself. It is worship. It is praise. It is thanksgiving. Think about this. If you're in a battle with covetousness, you realize God has brought to your understanding a sense of covetousness over something someone else has. How do you defeat that? Well, you praise God. You thank God for what you do have. You remind yourself of all the great things that God has done and blessed you with, and you praise him. And when we praise him, we understand a little bit more of who God is. It sharpens our focus of who God is, and it helps us to focus upon what he has already done in our lives. How much time do you spend thanking and praising and worshiping God before you ever begin telling him what you need? Well, and that's what the requests are. The requests are to tell him what you need. And you know, there's no better way to honor God, to praise him, than to tell him, I need you. I need your grace. I need your presence. I need your deliverance. I need your power. I need your ability to overcome. Oh, that honors God. That praises him. We come to him when we're anxious and worried. Philippians chapter 4 talks about that. To bring everything to him. First Peter tells us to cast all of our care upon him because he cares for us. Anxiety it reduces the size of our shield of faith. If you want to know how to reduce your faith shield, well, then just start worrying. You want to increase it. You want to enlarge your shield of faith. Well, look to him. Cast your care, your anxiety upon him. In times when you need deliverance, the church in Acts chapter 12 was praying for the deliverance of Peter and his companions, and they were praying all night long. They were in that continual state of praying in the Spirit for deliverance. And sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we have to sacrifice sleep and food, whatever it takes to be passionate about our desire to see God at work. Sometimes we have to come with tears and loud cries of agony. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 talks about Jesus crying out to God with tears. And sometimes we need to be that. That sometimes is battlefield praying. He was in a great battle that night in Gethsemane, and he had to cry out to God. Do you cry out to God? Is there any moment in your life when you just, there's this spiritual force inside you that cries out and longs for more of God in your life? And then just times when we know our faith is weak and we need to be strengthened. Do you need strengthened today? Does your faith need to be equipped better? Well, maybe that's where you begin on the battlefield, to kneel down and say, God, I need more faith. I'm facing battles. I'm facing conflicts right now that are way above me, and I need to trust you more. He must increase. I must decrease. I must decrease. He must increase. Sorry. Increase my faith, Lord. Is your prayer life dull, monotonous, praying for the same things? You get your prayer sheet out and you kind of run through your list. How much time are you investing? How much time are you giving to praying in the Spirit? You see, it's not something that comes instantly. You don't flip a switch. You spend time. Worship is one of the ways that takes you into that time, praising and thanksgiving, and you'll find the Holy Spirit initiating more and more of an understanding of where He is directing you in your battlefield prayer. Fourth thing, then, is battlefield praying is best done as a team. As a team. Verse 18 ends this way, always keep on praying for all the saints. And then verse 19 picks it up again, and Paul says, and pray for me too. Pray for me too. You know that I'm enjoying watching the Olympics, and go Lexi Mollenhauer. We're going to cheer for you to win the gold medal. I have faith that the Azerbaijani team can pull this off, and we're going to cheer for you and lift you up. But the Olympics have an awful lot of individual talents, individual sports. But oftentimes those individual sports are combined for teams. In swimming, it's the relay races. In gymnastics, it's the team gymnastics. But when those individuals get on those apparatuses, or they swim against one another, they're competitors. But when they're a team, they are together. They are totally for one another. When they're on the team together, they're bonded together. And that's one of the big things that the devil hates about the Church of God. He hates it. The body of Christ is unified. When there aren't fractions and divisions and fights and quarrels and conflict. And so he does all he can to divide the team. And so I think Paul is being very, very intentional here. It says, yeah, we're all in this battle together. We need to face the true enemy of our souls and of the church. One of the devil's strategies is to get us thinking that we're all by ourselves, that I'm all alone out here, and everybody's against me, and I'm the only one that understands this, and I'm the only one who's facing this. The other thing the devil does is try to get us to believe that the enemy is really the other believer over there. He tricks us into thinking that the other believer is our enemy rather than he is our enemy. He does anything to get us to thinking anything but team. He doesn't want us to join together, to be unified. That's one of the reasons why I believe God has put on our hearts collectively to have this period of time every Sunday morning where we pray for one another. And I want to encourage that. I want to spur that on. Thank you, Heiko, for continuing that through the month of July. We're going to continue it when we get back as well. And maybe we'll even develop it a little bit more, because we are all in a battle. We need to be a team. It's one of the reasons why one of the high priorities of our home group fellowships is a time of prayer for one another. Yeah, it's Bible study and interacting with God and seeing God transform us. It is all about fellowship, but my friends, it's time to do some battlefield praying when we are in home group together with one another. So on a personal basis, how are you doing with battlefield prayer? How is your prayer life today? Do you want more? Is there something that you feel is lacking? There is in my life. I know that there is more to be accomplished in the battlefield for prayer. And I want to do battle. Do you? Let me kind of prompt you a little bit. Maybe you're feeling a little guilty or wondering, how do I get past this? Well, evaluate some of the reasons why you aren't on the battlefield of prayer. Well, why aren't you going deeper in prayer? First of all, you might not even realize that you're on a battlefield. You know, that's a lot of us. We do. There's no battlefield. I'm okay. I'm doing well. No big deal here. You don't even realize that you're on a battlefield. You're not aware that every believer, everyone who has placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior and is living for Him as their Lord, you're automatically in a battle. It's a natural tendency. It is what being a Christian is all about. You're doing battle against the devil, and you're trying to bring the influence of God and His word and truth into this world. And you're also fighting your own sinful tendencies. You have a battle. Second reason why is maybe you're overconfident. Yeah, I know I'm in a battle, but hey, I got this together. You know, I have a degree in theology, or I have been a Christian now for 40 years. Whatever you're thinking is that you can handle this, you're wrong. Flat out wrong. You're on a battlefield. You're on a spiritual battlefield that goes way beyond what you could ever imagine or think. And you can't be overconfident, because you'll get cut off quickly. Maybe you're afraid that God is going to ask you to change. You're in prayer and you're asking Him to change this person or that person or this situation, and God's looking and He's holding up a mirror and saying, listen, this is what needs change. It's you. The battle is that stinking pride. The battle is in your own sinful tendencies. That's hard to take sometimes, isn't it? But there's no better place to be than being under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Not under the condemnation of the devil, but under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, who is going to lead you deeper into the grace and the mercy and the help of God. Maybe you would say this morning, you know, I'm just too busy. I got too many things on my to-do list. I just can't take the time to do. You're talking about a great deal of investment of time, Pastor, and how will that happen? Well, yeah, it does. It takes time. It takes a priority. And if you're going to be able to do what God has asked you to do the rest of the day, you need to spend that time in prayer. You need to be constantly aware of your need to offer up those quick prayers to God. God, I need the belt of truth now. I need that belt of truth to gird me up, to strengthen me. I need that shield of faith, because I don't know what's going to happen next. Whatever it is, understanding that you've got to make prayer a priority. And maybe you're just lazy. Maybe you're just plain lazy. Anybody want to put your hand up for that one? We do. We get lazy in our Christian walk sometimes. And then sometimes God will put something in our path, like a visa that was supposed to come 20 days ago and is still waiting. Well, you know, that will spur us on. Ask God to take out the laziness and see what kind of challenges He puts you into, what kind of battlefield He will put you on, so that it's not a matter of laziness, it's a matter of desperation. You need to have God there. I would encourage you to do this. Do a prayer inventory. Take a look at the past week. Don't look at the past 2 years or anything. Look at the past week and inventory all the ways that you've asked God to work in your life. Inventory your prayer life. And some of you might say, I'm trying to remember when I did pray this week. Well, start today. Start right now. Others of you will come back, yeah, okay, well, let me look at that. Well, as you evaluate that inventory, ask this question. How would the world be different today if God would have answered your prayers? Not how would my life be different, but God wants us to make a difference in this world on our knees. He's called us to a place of prayer. Are you there yet today? Look to God. Look to Him today. Get on your knees and cry out for the Holy Spirit to empower your battlefield praying. I'm going to close this message with a playing of of a great song. I've heard it a number of times this summer, different places that I've been. But Phil Wickham sings about the battle belonging to the Lord. And he says, when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. We'll play that. You can do it as a way to express your own heart's desire to be on the battlefield of prayer and see God work in your life. God bless you. I hope to see you next Sunday here at VIF. Be praying. Be on the battlefield of prayer for my deliverance, that I might be able to be back with you next Sunday. But look to Him. Let's keep focused upon a great God who is able to do great things in our lives. God bless.